Kings chapter 13, we'll read two verses and give you some thoughts out of what your Bible says there. Verse number 20 says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Tonight I want to put this thought in your mind tonight. Living a life that will touch others even when you're gone. You know, the lives that we live and the profession that we make and the Lord that we serve, there's folks that's looking at our life. Whether you realize it tonight, your life's going to touch people in one way or the other, positive or negative. I'll take any amens I can get tonight, too. You know, I had one teacher to say it was kind of dull on Wednesday night. He said, "Sure is hard to get an amen." And so I want to encourage you to be a blessing to your teachers and your preachers when they're up here in this pulpit right here. It means a lot to know people is listening and that they agree with what you're preaching on. Amen? All right. That sounds better. But living a life that'll touch others even when you're gone. Now, Elisha was a man of God. He was one of God's prophets, and he was a prophet in a time of when there was ungodliness in the land, disobedience in the land, idolatry, and apostasy was everywhere in the nation that he was prophesying in. But he didn't let it discourage him. He didn't let it defeat him. He kept going for God. And let me say today, the day in which we live today, we are living in a day a whole lot like that day then. Have you ever seen this country in such a mess and the world in such a mess as it is today? But it's a time for God's people to take a stand for what's right and do what's right and live right. And listen, these little kids that just went downstairs, they need somebody to be a light to them. They need somebody to be a godly example to them that one day, if time permits and they grow up and we grow old and we get out of here, they can take our place in the house of God and keep the fire of God going at this place. Amen. True. But I want you to notice some things tonight. There's still a faithful few, even though this old country is in a mess and a lot of churches are in a mess, and they're still a faithful few people that want to serve God and want to do what's right. Amen? I didn't say a perfect few. I said a faithful few, because there's none of us that's perfect. But we serve a risen Savior that is perfect, and He's willing to forgive us. Every time we fall down, He'll pick you up if you won't pick up. Proverbs 24 and 6 says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Amen. That's something about a person that's been saved, been born again by the grace of God. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. We all fall flat of our face at times. But I tell you what, when I fall, the Holy Ghost begins to deal with me, and He begins to nudge my heart. He wants me back on the right track. He wants me back in the right relationship with God. He wants me to be a light to those about me that's lost. And He does the same thing for you. Rises up again. But listen, I want you to see some things right here about our life and about the life of Elisha right here, as these two little old verses tell us a whole lot. Notice, first of all, in verse number 20 right here, there's an obituary, an announcement. It says right here that Elisha died. Elisha was a great man of God. But it reminds me and it reminds you that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We're alive in here tonight. We have life. We have breath. But we have a promise, too. It's appointed unto a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I hope everybody in here is ready for that great day in their life when they leave this old world and fall into the hands of a living God. The Bible teaches me that it is a fearful thing to fall into His hands. And it ought to put a godly fear in our heart and lives to want to serve Him and do right and live right and meet Him right when we leave this world. Amen? All right. An obituary. An announcement. Let's look at Elisha's life for just a minute. Elisha was a man that was picked by God. He was chosen by God. He was called by God. Same thing that happened to you one day when you were lost and out in sin. God called you. You might say God just picked you. You didn't pick Him. He picked you. Amen? Ain't that a wonderful thought that God loved you enough to come to you when you was in darkness and in sin and draw you a cords of love to a place of repentance and salvation and made you sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father? He was picked by God. I want you to look in 1 Kings just for a minute. In 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to look at this, a couple of thoughts right here about Elisha. Now, Elijah was a great man of God. And in chapter number 19, God was giving some commands to Elijah, and one of the commands was to go and anoint Elisha in a prophet in your stead. He was called by God. And to be a prophet, he was picked by God. But notice this, as Elisha began to follow Elijah, and he learned from his man of God. I'm glad there's some people in life that's worth following. Amen. I'm glad there's some people, Brother Tim, that's got a faith that's worth following. And we ought to be that example to those about us that don't know God. We ought to be living a faith that people could look and see Jesus in us. And they'd want to be like us. Elisha wanted to be like Elijah. You notice right here as time goes on and it comes time for God to take Elijah out of this old world, that Elijah asked Elisha, what is it you'd have me to do? He said that I might have a double portion of thy spirit. Wasn't that something? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that mindset in our lives today? A double portion. He didn't say, boy, I'd love to have your nice car. I'd love to have your nice house, Elijah. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. That's what we need in our lives today. We need more God in our lives. We need a double portion of the Holy Ghost. We ought not ever be satisfied with where we're at. We ought to be wanting to move higher. God, help us. Amen. He was picked by God, and he wanted the power of God on his life. If we want to do more for God, if we want to be more of a light and be more of a servant for God in our lives and use our time wisely in life, then we need more of God. We need more of the Holy Ghost to lead us, to guide us, to fill us and thrill us and let us be that light, to empower us. You can't do it without Him, as a matter of fact. Amen. But you can do anything through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. He was picked of God. He had the power of God on him because he wanted it. Simply because he asked for it. He wanted it. And the Bible tells us that when Elijah was called out by a whirlwind, his mantle came back and Elisha picked up that mantle and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And he smote the waters of the Jordan, and the waters parted. See, God proved himself. Proved himself to him. And God will prove himself to you, too, if you want him. He was trying God. He said, where is the God of Elijah? He was Elisha's God, too. And we have the same God today. The same God. And we can have the same power of God in our lives. You see, he was picked by God. He had the power of God, but he also had a purpose. Did you realize that God has a purpose for your life and for my life? Everyone that's sitting within this house tonight, God has a purpose for you. Now, I worked in a dental lab for 42 years. I made a lot of teeth, a lot of crowns, a lot of bridges. If you got a good one in your mouth, I made that one. If you had a toothache with it, I didn't touch it. But listen, that was not my purpose in life. 42 years I worked at a beach making teeth, but I had a higher purpose in life in the sight of God. And it's standing right here delivering the Word of God to the people of God. And hey, this is my purpose in life. This is what I was birthed into this world for. For this moment, this time. And you have a purpose in life that God has for you to do something for Him and His glory. We get caught so caught up in the things of the world, but God has got us here to bring honor and glory to Him and His Son. When He gets through with us, He'll do just like He did Elisha and Elijah. He'll call us on out of this old world. This world's not our home. We're just passing through for a short time. But I'm talking about tonight living a life that'll touch others when we're gone. And we're going to touch somebody in one way or the other as we walk through this life. Elisha's life, but Elisha's love. He loved the ministry. He loved serving God. He loved his country. He went about trying to get people to do right, to act right, and to turn back to God in a hard, hard time. And he loved his countrymen. He was interested in people. If you study his life, the miracles that he performed, it involved people that had a need in their life. The widow woman who they was about to take her two sons and put them into slavery, he intervened and he helped that widow woman with the oil. You know the story? And the Shunammite woman's son that died brought life back to him. Naaman the leper. Hey, he showed him how to go dip in Jordan 7 times and be cleansed. He was always involved in the needs of other people. We get so caught up in life that it's all about me, 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 me. And we forget about the needs of others. I'm glad there's still a few people that's interested in praying for the needs of others. Instead of just every time we get down to pray, God, it's give me this and give me that and do that for me, Lord. But what about everybody else that's in need? We ought to be a praying people, not a selfish people. Praying people for the needs of those about us. There's some great needs in our church. There's people tonight in hospital beds. There's people tonight suffering. There's people that are lost. There's people that's going through trials and troubles in life. I'm telling you, when I stand before, and when Brother Ken stands up here to a full house on Sunday, there's needs all over this house that you and I probably don't even know about. It's a great responsibility that God's given us. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. It opened up a way for you and I to go into the holy place of a throne of grace and call upon God, petition God, intervene, hey, for others about us. What a privilege it is. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, the Bible says He's made us to be kings and priests. Before Jesus died on the cross, that veil of the temple was closed. Brother Tim, the high priest was the only one that could go behind the veil. But God has opened it up and made us kings and priests where we can go within the veil and pray and ask God, hey, ask Him for great things and great blessings. And He's been good to you, hasn't He? He's been good to us. Elijah had a love for his countrymen. For his country, and he had compassion. I'm glad there's people with compassion. You ever know anybody that had great compassion for people? You ever know anybody that had great compassion for lost people? I was down at the cemetery the other day, and I got to thinking about the man of God that was preaching when I got saved, Brother Monroe Wiggins. And I thought, well, I'm going out there to his grave. I want to see where he's buried. So I went out in the cemetery and I found his grave. Reverend Monroe Wiggins, what the tombstone said. As I stood there, my mind went back to a great man of God. And the messages, hundreds and hundreds of messages that he preached, funerals, hundreds and hundreds, and all the times that I ever seen him preach, there's one thing I noticed about him. He had a great compassion. Tears. I never seen him preach without tears. God was on him because he had a great compassion. He didn't want to see people die and go to hell. And he preached. And he won hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord because he had that heart for them. And he wanted to see them saved. Elisha, he had compassion. He wanted to help people. But not only Elisha's life and Elisha's love, but Elisha's loss. His loss. The great loss was to the people that he left behind. Whenever a godly man or a godly woman leaves out, there's a void left. There's a void that's left. And we need to be raising up young people, young men, young women, to come in and fill the void when God calls one of an older saint out or even a younger saint. People need to be able, as children of God, to go in and fill that void immediately. There was a void left. But notice what happens right here. If this void that was left, you'll see in verse number 20 right here, this opportunity right here. Back in 2 Kings 13 right here. Notice this. Elisha died and they buried him. Notice what happened in this void right here that was left. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. I wonder, we able to pick up where somebody else leaves out. It ought to be our heart's desire. Elisha had a desire to take over when Elijah was called out. And that ought to be our desire to look at this opportunity. It was an opportunity for Elijah when Elijah left out. But right here, I see an opportunity for the enemy, for the adversary. Can I tell you something? If we don't fill the voids, the devil will. Amen. He's got his false prophets. He's got his false teachers. He's got his false doctrine. And if you don't watch out, he'll come in and take over. Absolutely. And he's doing his job well in the day that we live. You see, his ambition is to take over. He wants your church. He wants your home. He wants your children. He wants you. So that's why we need to be close to God. We need to be filled with God and the Word of God in our lives. The adversary, he's looking for an opportunity. And as he looks for an opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy, we ought to be looking for an opportunity to serve and to grow and to do things that God would have us to do with our lives. But not only this opportunity, the adversary comes in right here. Notice, I see an alarm right here. It says, and it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men. You see, we need to train up some young people to get filled with God and the Word of God and have the fire of God in them and be able to recognize the enemy because he's coming. Don't ever think the devil's going to step back. He don't like Liberty Baptist Church. The devil don't like you. He does not like me. He does not like the things that's going on here. If he can get a place in here, if he can take over, if he can bring in false doctrine and false teachers and false preachers, he'll do it. He's doing his job today. Every house you see, every church that's got a steeple on top doesn't mean it's the house of God. A lot of false doctrine in this old world today. Elisha's life, his love, his loss, his obituary, the opportunity of the adversary. But Lastly, I want you to see this right here. I see an observation that's amazing. Well, what is it? What's so amazing about it? It says right here that they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Even after, excuse me, let me get a drink of this. Even after death, Elisha's life was still touching others. I wonder what people will have to say about us when we're gone. I jotted down just a few things here, and I'm going to be closing in just a minute. You see right here, the dead was revived when he just touched the bones of a dead man, Elisha, a man of God. I wonder if people would say this about us. They were a positive influence. Or would they say this? He was always negative. Negative, negative, negative. We don't need negative people. We don't need negative Christians. We've got everything to gain. Amen. Life's hard. I'll admit, life's hard. But God has never lost a battle. He's never lost one of His children. We're heading out of this old sin-cursed world, and we're heading toward glory. So try your best to be positive. Look on the positive side of things. Quit bellyaching. Nobody likes bellyachers, do they? Amen? When you come home in the evenings and come in and slam the door behind you, don't go to bellyaching. Try just thanking God for letting you make it home. Bellyachers. Hey, will you be remembered for your love and your laughter? Or will you be remembered for being loud and obnoxious? Love and laughter. God wants us to have a good time as we go through life. It ain't all sawbriars and gravel gravy. Hey, I like that. You're laughing back there. That's good. Laughter's good medicine, isn't it? And God wants us to be happy people. Will you be known as a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Will you be known for speaking kindness or spewing poison? Will you be known for sowing the gospel or sowing discord? Huh? A lot of that going on. Will you be known as being a blessing or just being bitter all the time? Nobody likes to be around bitter folks. Belly aching, bitter, backbiting. Fill the gospel with the gospel or fill with gossip? Spreading gossip or silencing gossip? You ever had to tell anybody you just didn't want to hear something? Somebody went, like, you hear about old so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so? No, and I don't want to hear about it. That ought to be a Christian's response. I had a grandmother. My mother told me this about her. It had been my mother's mother-in-law. She said, you didn't say nothing about somebody around her. She'd tell you to shut your mouth. And she just didn't put up with people talking about somebody else. That ought to be the way we are too. You want to talk about somebody, just get you a mirror. Go stand in front of the mirror. There's a good subject right there if you want to put somebody down. Will you be known for lifting folks up or pushing folks down? You see, our influence does not end at the grave. We got an opportunity to to be a positive influence on some younger person or even on an older person as we name the name of Christ. And we're supposed to be Christians. I'll tell you about a little story and I'm going to close. When I hadn't been saved but just a short time, and church was real exciting to me. And, I'd go to church, Brother Tim, I'd listen to preaching, and it was a blessing to me. And, the Holy Ghost was moving in me, and I didn't even really know what was going on. I just know I enjoyed it. But I went to church. It was a decoration day, they call it. And people, they have church in the morning, and then they go out and decorate graves, and they have lunch. Well, church wasn't going good that morning. There was something wrong. I had enough discernment as a young Christian to know there was something just wasn't right. The preacher struggled. I mean, there was just no Spirit of God in there. And so it kind of troubled me. And I went outside, during the grave decorating thing, and there was an old man. He was up in his 80s. If I remember right, his last name was Rogers. But I run into him out there in the cemetery. And that old man, he just, we just casually met and said hello. And I asked him, I said, "How you been doing, Mr. Rogers?" He said, "Well, I ain't doing real good today." He said, "I just didn't feel like coming to church today." He said, "But as I laid there this morning," he said, "God told me to get down there to that church and feed my lambs." Feed my lambs. He kept repeating that over. God told me to get down to the church and feed the lambs. And the Holy Ghost began to move. The Holy Ghost began to stir my heart. And that old man began to feed me, Brother Tim, with his testimony there. He got to lifting his hands and tears coming down his face. And he was feeding a lamb there. He didn't realize it, but God had him there to feed me that morning because the church was dead that day. And the reason the church was dead that day because they had a deacon's meeting the day before and had a big knockdown drag out in the deacon's meeting. But God sent somebody there. That's been so many years ago, but it's still right here in my mind. That old man's done gone on a long time ago. But he left a positive influence in my life. Something I can remember about what he did for me that day. God's looking for some people to make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. I wonder if that person will be you. It would be me. I want to ask you to stand to your feet tonight. Sister Cherry, would you come to the piano?